car.
What is it? What's happened?
Baby's crying.
Oh, really? I thought it was the cat being spayed.
Oh, what a thunderwit we are in the early hours of the morning. Face them, Patty. Go and see what's wrong with the baby.
Oh, I know what's wrong with the baby. It's naturally vicious. Oh, if only they'd spayed me.
Daddy! Oh, listen, now Sandra's woken up.
Oh, all right. I'll go.
Mind you don't wake Mrs. Jackson next door. She'll only start moving the furniture. And Patty, while you're up, make us a cup of tea.
We present episode 3 of Patterson, a comedy series in 8 parts by Malcolm Bradbury and Christopher Bigsby.
Oh, there you are, Patty. Everything all right?
Oh, you got up, Jane, did you? How very nice. Yes, yes, everything's fine. The sunlight's coming up over the fish dock. 2 hours ago, I cleaned everything up. I've locked Sandra naked in the bathroom, put Garth under the garden hose and the babies in the washing machine.
I expect you'd like some breakfast.
I expect I would. And what, amid the splendours of gourmet cooking, might be for breakfast? I think I know. Sausages?
Yes.
Ah, well, that's all right then. At least sausages make you infertile.
What?
It says so here in The Guardian.
Oh.
They had half a dozen scientists feeding tons of the things to rats. And half have gone blind, and the others are all sterile.
The scientists?
No, the bloody rats.
Last week you said it was colour television sets that made you sterile.
They do, if you sit astride them for 3 weeks.
You're a self-pitying hypochondriac, Patty.
I know. It's what I have instead of God. Are those sausages ready yet? Hmm? I've got to be in the university at 9 to meet my advisees and see if they have any problems.
Oh, you deal with their problems. Wouldn't it be better the other way around?
They're packed with artificial colouring, you know.
Your advisees?
No, the sausages. Look, they're bloody pink. Here, let's switch the light out. I bet they glow in the dark.
Patty, are you going out again tonight?
Oh, I don't know. Yes, there's some student protest thing that asked me to come.
Why?
Oh, so they can tell me to piss off when I turn up. Their idea of fearless radicalism.
2 weeks here, and you're never home. Okay, then, Patty. You're busy elsewhere. I think I'll take the job.
What? What? You've got it? They solemnly sat there and offered it to you?
Of course. Unlike some people, I am fully qualified and capable. I'm going to work with problem families. It'll be a real holiday after you.
Come in.
Doc Patterson.
That's right. Go behind the screen and take your clothes off.
Oh, one of them, are you?
Well, no, I'm not, actually. Just a small joke, Mr...
Jake, take a puke, can I?
Well, I'm your moral tutor. Jake, if you have any problems, you're supposed to bring them to me.
Oh, problems. I've got lots of those.
Oh, just what I need. Well, let's see now. You're reading English, Jake. That's right?
Yes, right.
Good. Who's your favourite author?
Dylan.
Ah, Dylan Thomas.
Who?
Dylan Thomas. That's his name, isn't it?
No, aye. Dylan. Bob Dylan.
Ah, the musical person. No, I actually meant which author, writer, you know, you did do A-level English, didn't you?
I did, yeah, of course. It was out of woodwork. I hardly fancied knocking bloody holes in lumps of bloody wood, did I? Besides, Miss Jenkins taught English, didn't she?
She was a good teacher, was she?
Really made it come alive, she did. You know, far from the sodding crowd and all that. Fan-bloody-tastic. Of course, she had to leave.
Did she?
At twins, didn't she? Never said who it was. Ask no questions, tell no lies.
To be honest, Jake, I don't quite understand how you got admitted.
Headmaster's report, I reckon, don't you, sport?
You think you had a good one?
Oh, better. What I know. Miss Jenkins, the staff room, Mark Inlay, in with his Bunsen burner.
Weren't you interviewed yet?
Out of the country, weren't I?
Where?
With my father, on holiday, in the Seychelles.
What does your father do?
Well, he's a brain surgeon, isn't he? Knocking holes in heads. Not like the Seychelles, this, is it?
You never said a truer word, Jake. It's not like the Seychelles. Remember, any problems?
I'll go and suss them out, then I'll come back, okay, sport?
You do that, Jake. Goodbye. Oh, God.
Hello, Dr. Patterson. How are your advisees?
Oh, marvellous. Some of them can even walk upright. I came in for my mail, Mary. I'm expecting the Nobel Prize for Fertility.
There's just one letter, Dr. Patterson, from Mr. Cuthbertson in the library. You owe them a fine of £20. I didn't open it.
How can I owe them £20? I've only been here 2 weeks.
Don't go, Dr. Patterson. Professor Misty wants to see you. He's been looking uphill and down dale for you.
That's not where I was. Why didn't he look in my office? What does he want?
Something to do with a foreign student he's got with him.
Why am I the one he always wants to introduce to foreign students? I can't even stand abroad. Professor Misty, I gather you were looking for me.
Really, was I? Do come in.
Ah.
You'll have to move the bag onto the floor first. Now, isn't it?
Patterson.
Oh, yes, Patterson. I was looking for you. I was just saying no more than a moment ago to Mr.
Benedict.
Yes, that it's funny how one starts forgetting things when one spends the summer beavering away, adding to the stock of chasing up footnotes, writing a book.
Oh, you had a profitable summer, Professor Misty.
Oh, not me, you. I'm past all that. I went fishing. Now, let me introduce you. This is Mr. Banerjee. And this is Dr.
Benedict.
Funny, thought it was the other way around. Now, I've introduced you in order that, what was it?
Perhaps I'm permitted to explain, Professor Misty.
Well, don't take long. I have a meeting tomorrow.
Dr. Patterson, I'm sent over here at great expense from India by the British Council for doing my thesis in your university.
That's it, exactly. He's been sent over to do a thesis. I've been thinking about this to myself. You know, it's a lonely thing, being a head of department, thinking. Well, I thought, who's the ideal chap to supervise this sort of stuff? Who's the very fellow to... And I thought, why, now I've got it. What about...
Patterson?
Thistlebury.
What is the thesis about?
Tell him, counsel.
Well, Dr. Patterson, it is on nothing.
That's it. Knew it was something. Nothing. Well, I checked a bit round the department, asked who knew nothing, and everyone said...
Thistlebury?
Patterson.
Can I just get this straight? Mr. Banerjee has been sent from India, at great expense, by the British Council, to write a thesis on nothing?
Exactly. Odd, is it?
Par for the course.
There may be some... about what precise kind of nothing? It's the green nothing.
Ah, not the blue nothing.
Perhaps I am permitted to explain, Professor Mystify.
All right, but keep it short this time.
I want to write thesis on the novel Nothing by writer Henry Green, for whom I have a most venerating admiration.
That's what I said, the green nothing.
Henry Green's nothing? I haven't read it. I don't read novels. Poetry's my field.
I knew you were the ideal chap. Just take him away, get him started. Show him the library, that kind of thing. Well, that's settled then. Oh, Thistlebury, one thing before you go. My lawnmower.
Your lawnmower, Professor Misty?
Excuse this small matter of academic business, Mr. Council. Yes, I'd welcome the return of my lawnmower. Our grass is now 4 feet high, and my wife thinks we've lost our terrier in it.
But I don't have your lawnmower, Professor Misty. I never knew you had a lawnmower.
Of course I have a lawnmower. I use it to...
Paint the ceiling with?
Oh, did. Until someone who said he lectured in the department came to my front door last spring and borrowed it. I remember saying to myself at the time, that's Patterson.
No, I wasn't here last spring. I've only just joined the department.
You had great big boots on.
It wasn't Patterson.
Said he was Patterson.
I didn't even exist then, not here. Look, Professor Misty, there's a department of 16 people here, most of them with lawns.
16? Extraordinary, isn't it? Can't imagine what they find to do.
You appointed them, Professor Misty.
Ah, but not to take my lawnmower. You know, Patterson, I regard myself as something of a soft head. In fact, I think I can fairly say that I'm seen throughout the university as a very soft head. Isn't that true, Patterson?
Well, yes, Professor Misty.
But as I've said before, or since, leniency can go too far. I'm not that kind of professor who habitually checks on tutorials and pokes into people's garden sheds, you must admit, Patterson.
I do.
But fornicating faculty and the disappearance of a professorial lawnmower would cause consternation in, boat race, high table, letters to the Times.
Oxford?
Cambridge. I want it back, Patterson. Is that understood?
Yes, Professor Misty.
Good. That's settled then. Oh, speaking of fornication, how is that lady you...
My wife?
Yes, your wife, the nicer one of the two. Left her sitting out on the nicely mown lawn, did you?
No, cleaning up sick in the bathroom, actually, and not with a lawnmower.
Well, if it's back at my summer house by 9 sharp tomorrow, we won't say another word. Otherwise, I think it was for the end of the line, Patterson. Well, good of you to pop. Bye now, Mr. Green.
Oh, Dr. Patterson, I'm very pleased to be working with you. I know you are a highly clever fellow. My father is famous seller of Oxon supplies. All the way from India, he sends you a small present.
Well, that's very kind, Mr. Banerjee. Just a moment, will you? Mary, any messages?
Yes, your wife rang up to say the baby has come out in bright red blotches, oh. And your daughter's cough's got worse, so she's called the doctor. Oh, and Professor Misty asked me to ask you something about a lawnmower.
Yes. Nothing about the Nobel Prize.
Not that I've heard, Dr. Patterson.
Oh, you're really getting the famous Nobel Prize? Well, even more, I am honored to work with you. Perhaps now we can have a long consultation.
Mr. Banerjee, my marriage is collapsing, my children are dying, my professor threatens to fire me if I don't return a lawnmower I don't have. Couldn't we just leave it till tomorrow?
But I have many long questions to ask you about nothing.
Tomorrow, Mr. Banerjee.
Ah, hello there, Dr. Patterson. Bon appétit.
Please don't talk French to me. It loosens my bowels. Well, Mr. Cuthbertson, I'm surprised to find you in our cafeteria. I thought you disapproved of anything not grown in animal excrement.
There's a salad bar over there. I eat from that. You shouldn't mock, you know. You are what you eat.
Really? What's it like being a cucumber? A bit indigestible? Remember, those who learn nothing from natural history are doomed to repeat it.
What's that on your plate?
I hate to think. We're still awaiting the autopsy report.
I saw your wife yesterday. She's a very charming person.
Indeed.
You're a lucky man.
I know. I won her in a raffle.
We've joined the same yoga class, you know. She looks quite beautiful upside down.
Oh, does she? Thanks for the tip. Excuse me, I have to join my colleague.
There you are, Patterson. Eh? I kept you a seat. How's life?
Terrible. War by other means at home. And now Misty's running a pogrom in the department because...
Oh, faculty's fornicating with faculty, student with student?
No, because someone's taken his lawnmower.
Ah.
He also thinks that person is me.
Misty's lawnmower. Yeah, I had that.
Oh. What? You, Victor?
Hmm.
You went there in your big boots and borrowed his lawnmower?
Hmm.
Why does he think it was taken by me?
Well, I don't know. Perhaps because I told him my name was Thistlebury. Well, I had to, didn't I, Hammond? He wouldn't have lent it to me.
Well, what have you done with it? Misty's got to have it back by 9 tomorrow morning, or I get the chop.
Well, I'd like to help Patterson, but I haven't got it anymore. I lent it to Amy Spade in exchange for sexual favours.
Amy Spade? Sexual favours?
Yeah, she promised to leave me alone for a bit.
Oh, may I join this nice male table? Hello, Victor.
Hello, Amy. What's the news, then?
You know the Dickinsons in moral philosophy, they've split up, and the Langhams in botany, they're having a trial separation. Have you got any news, Victor?
You remember the atoms in physics, Amy? They're back together again.
What's happening to matrimony? Did they abolish it while I was on holiday and nobody told me?
Oh, it's the Bermuda Triangle of human relations, isn't it?
I was always brought up to believe that those whom the building society had joined together let no man put asunder.
And we're past all that now. Good Lord, what are we eating? It's playing hell with my teeth.
Poor Victor, what's wrong with your teeth?
They fall out when I masticate. I have to give it up.
You know, it's fascinating. They once used to think the teeth were the root of all disease. Anything wrong with you, they took them all out.
Oh, Lord.
The Pelagri tribe of New Guinea had the same idea about testicles.
Pelagri tribe? Never heard of them.
Precisely. Amy, do you happen to have Professor Misty's lawnmower?
What? That broken down old green thing?
That's the man. Do you happen to have his lawnmower, Amy? I gave it to you, remember?
Oh, yes. I gave it to Melissa.
Melissa, where is she? Breaker of marriages, corrupter of young men?
Right here, Victor. May I sit down? Oh,
please do, my dear. On my knee, if you like.
No, I'll sit over here besides Andrew Patterson.
Oh.
How's the Tupperware, Andrew Patterson? How's family life?
Oh, you've picked a dreadful topic there.
Oh, really?
Yes, he's in the marital doldrums.
Well, I've always said there's only one good reason for marriage.
With you around, even that's gone.
No, Victor. Remember, without marriage, you can't commit adultery. Come and have dinner with me one night, Andrew Patterson, and tell me all about it. What about tonight?
I'm supposed to go to a student protest about something.
Oh, they have those every night.
I'm also a respectable, unhappily married man.
Go on, Patterson. It's a chance to get your lawnmower back in it.
It's Andrew Patterson. I began to think you weren't coming.
I nearly didn't. I walked round the block 3 times, wondering.
You're not afraid of me, are you?
Ah, no, of course not. Yes, wonderful dress.
I'm glad you like it. It's courage.
And a little bit of willpower. Yeah, I've brought you a bottle. I wonder if you'd mind filling it up. Hmm? Yeah, no, it's Sainsbury's best.
Oh, lovely. We'll have it with dinner. Come in and see the flat.
Oh, right, thanks. Oh, yes. Very nice. Modern living, right out of the ads, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Only 12 minutes by hovercraft from the city centre, Penny's Bottom offers exceptional amenities. Every flat has its own sauna and optional Anglican priest. The communal acres are estate maintained, and even the wife swapping is organised by the architect. I like it.
It has its snags, of course. You aren't allowed to have any rubbish, and you have to hang your washing in the car. But it's fine for me, on my own. Like a drink? Gin, vodka, or white rum? I like to be able to see my guest through the glass. That way you can watch where their hands are.
Gin and tonic, please, if the bubbles won't obscure the view.
Andrew, can I ask you a personal question?
Please, of course. That's why I...
Why you came. Does your wife know that you're having dinner with me?
Not exactly. Might have been misunderstood. I find wives have this irrational prejudice against their husbands consorting with women between the ages of 15 and 40. Besides, she doesn't...
Like me.
No, I told her I had a meeting to discuss next year's Congress.
I see. You're a slow worker, aren't you? What's she doing, your wife? Sitting at home, knitting while you...
Oh, no. She's a modern woman. She goes to yoga class. And I sit at home with the tire levers waiting to put her shoulder back in again.
But not tonight. Andrew, do you like French food?
Actually, I'm allergic to foreign countries. I get dysentery in Thomas Cook's.
Mm.
Have you ever been ill in France?
No. Why?
Take my advice. Don't. Their whole medical system is built around the suppository. That's the French for you. No problem so complex it can't be solved by shoving a tablet up your bottom.
Your Majesty, you must do something. The peasants are starving.
Are they? Well, let them shove a tablet up their bottoms.
That's a nifty line in seductive small talk you've got there, Andrew Patterson.
Yes, well, I'm a little nervous, actually. Small flat, beautiful woman. Dinner for two?
Shall I put something on the stereo? Hmm? What have I got? Pink Floyd? Spanish Cries of Orgasm?
No, thanks. Leave it. Just listen to that.
What?
Nothing. Absolutely nothing.
What on earth do you mean?
No children, no crying, no screams, no fingers stuck up taps or noses. Marvellous background.
Oh, it's noisy at home.
Noisy is hardly the word. My children's lungs are directly wired to the local police station. Children, alas, do not come equipped with Dolby.
Have a stuffed olive. I do love stuffed olives, don't you?
Well, actually, I hate...
How many have you got?
Olives? Oh, kids. I'm not sure. They never stand still long enough for me to count, unless they're all ill, which they often are. Next to Boots, we've got the biggest pharmacy department in town. And Jane is always giving them things.
Mm-hmm.
Vitamin C, yeast, cod liver oil in malt.
Fascinating.
I'm not boring you, am I?
No.
Oh, good. They have interferon sprinkled on their cornflakes. Sandra's so full of penicillin, she could cure pneumonia at 10 paces.
I've never quite seen the attraction of children myself.
Nor have I. But, as they say in philosophy, it's a question of the means justifying the end.
Haven't you heard of the pill?
Oh, I've heard of it. Never seen it, but heard of it. My wife. She only acknowledges the existence of one oral contraceptive. She just keeps opening her mouth and saying, no, not tonight.
Well, it's changed my life.
Has it? Oh, good. Yes. Marvellous.
Poor old Patterson. Well, come to the table, dinner served. I thought I'd give you a treat. Escargot.
Escargot. Oh, wonderful. I'll tell you what, I'll eat them so long as you don't translate them.
You know what to do, don't you? You use the little pronged thing. You push it in, wriggle it about a bit, and then pull it out. It's hard work, but worth it in the end. It
sounds vaguely familiar.
You know, Andrew, I don't know what ideas you came with here tonight, but I want you to have your eyes open.
When I finish the escargot.
You probably think I'm an easy lay. You're looking for a nice little uncomplicated affair, aren't you?
No, I came about a lawnmower. Of course, if by any chance...
No, I've heard all these stories from married men before. You're looking for the Holy Grail, and I think I ought to tell you it's not up my skirt, general opinion in the senior common room notwithstanding. I believe in realism in sex, don't you?
And a bit of romanticism, too, but I didn't... I wasn't...
Didn't you? Wasn't you? Why don't you open the wine now?
Oh, right.
You know, Patterson, those children you abuse are your ego. You've been replicating your little self, trying to fill the world with miniature yous, so there'll be someone to laugh at your jokes.
We are not amused, we, Patterson.
And your wife. I don't like her either. But you've reduced her to a skivvy and a nurse, haven't you? Can't you get the cork out?
It's stuck.
You've made her bear countless tiny Pattersons, and then you've chased skirts because you feel the need for reassurance. You want to convince yourself that you're still attractive to women, that the world's just full of girls waiting to sustain your fragile ego.
It's true. It won't come out, you know.
Pull it, Patterson.
Hang on. I'll give it a rest for a second. Ah.
Patterson.
Hmm?
If you must put your hand on my breast, please do it as if you mean it. It can't really just have fallen there by accident out of a clear blue sky.
No, Melissa. I'll just give the bottle another go. Good grief, it's all over my trousers. It's red wine. What can I do?
Who'd have thought it?
What?
I've been wondering all afternoon what to serve for main course. I considered steak, I thought of trout, but in the end I clearly picked the perfect dish.
Oh, yes, what is it?
Coq au vin, Patterson. Coq au vin. Well, well, I'll leave it to simmer. Go into the bedroom and take your trousers off. I'll be there in a minute.
Doing?
Just bring home a lawnmower.
You wait, Mrs. Jackson next door. She's not moving the furniture again. What's that out there?
Ah, there she is, the old cow. It's all right, Mrs. Jackson. Just thought I'd tidy the garden.
At midnight? Is that you, Patterson?
No, my name's Misty. Professor Misty.
Oh, sorry, sir. I didn't realize it was a gent.
Where have you been? Come inside.
All right.
What's happening?
Oh, just protecting my future.
What future?
Exactly.
Did the student protest go on this late? I thought they all had to have their banners away and in bed by 10. And why are there wine stains all over your trousers?
Yes, well, it was quite a violent protest.
Are you also going to overthrow the government by breathing garlic on them?
Well, I did catch a quick snack.
Where?
Well, Melissa Murgatroyd's.
What was she like?
Oh, you know.
No.
Well, usual mix as far as I could see on the briefest acquaintance. Dash of marks, touch of Chanel number 5, and a subscription to motorcycle maintenance. You'd like her.
I gather she's in social work, too.
Melissa, social work?
Soothing the bewildered, taking broken souls off the streets and curing them by laying on of hands. Is that what happened, Patty?
Jane, has it ever occurred to you that this is not the most inviting house in the world? What happens? You watch television. We go upstairs. You put on your nightie, and I get excited, and you say, just a minute, dear, while I look at my temperature chart to see if it's all right. Then Sandra will wake up and cry, and you'll get into bed with her, and I'll have to supplement my raging desire watching a Newsnight special on foot fetishism in Patagonia. Our sex life may satisfy a Swiss watch manufacturer, Jane, but it doesn't satisfy me.
And have you any idea what it means, being married to you? The pantry's stuffed with nose sprays. Your mother fires off parcels of underpants as though you had a bum of emery paper. And your pathetic students phone up every hour of the day and night wanting you to hold their hands while they're aborted or fighting fascism in the bookshop or whatever else it is they do instead of working.
Jane,
go to hell! There's nothing there, is there?
No, I suppose not.
That's what you think, is it?
What? What? Did I turn over 2 pages at once?
There's nothing there anymore. That's what you said.
We've got to be honest.
Integrity doesn't come too well from someone who sleeps with lecturers in old English.
Perhaps I'd better go.
Yes, perhaps you'd better.
had I?
Oh, get out, Patty. Just get out.
Right. Well, okay. Yes.
No, get out!
Oh, Jane, it started to rain. Jane? I've forgotten my Mac. Jane! I've fallen in the flower bed.
God! Who's that now? Is it a man?
Oh, Lord, that old hag is all right, Mrs. Jackson. Just an accident. I think I sprained my ankle in the high changes.
Daddy, where are you going? Daddy!
Go away! Don't come back! Oh. Mrs. Patterson, are you all right? I was just tucking the goat up and I heard the dreadful din. Shall I bring some herbal tea round? Oh, why are you lying in the flower bed, Dr. Patterson?
Leave me alone, you homeopath.
That was episode 3 of Patterson.
Go away! Daddy, Daddy! It's a man!
No such luck, Mrs. Jackson. No such luck.
In that episode, you heard Louis Fyander as Patterson, with Richard Vernon as Professor Misty, Judy Parfitt as Jane, Maureen Lipman as Melissa, Hugh Thomas as Victor, Richard O'Callaghan as Cuthbertson, Frances Jeter as Mary and Mrs. Jackson, Maggie Steed as Amy Spade, Tariq Yunus as Banerjee, Philip Davis as Jake, and Lisa Hayden as Sandra. Patterson is written by Malcolm Bradbury and Christopher Bigsby, and the program is produced by Jeffrey Perkins.